Following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on October 3rd, 1997. The class begins with a reading from the Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, text 7.
Etam vibhutim yogam cha.
Etam vibhutim yogam cha.
Mama yoveti tatvatah.
Mama yoveti tatvatah.
Sovikalpena yogena.
Sovikalpena yogena.
Yujyate natya sansayah.
Yujyate natya sansayah.
Etam vibhutim yogam cha.
Etam vibhutim yogam cha.
Mama yo veti tatvatah.
Mama yo veti tatvatah.
Sovikalpena yogena.
Sovikalpena yogena.
Yujyate nacha sansaya.
Yujyate nacha sansaya.
Etam
vibhutim yogam cha.
Mama
yo veti tatvatah.
Sovikalpena yogena.
Sovikalpena yogena.
Yujyate natra sankshaya.
Yujyate natra sankshaya.
Etam vibhutim yogam cha.
Etam vibhutim yogam cha.
Mama yo veti tatvatah.
Mama yo veti tatvatah.
Sovikalpena yogena.
Sovikalpena yogena.
Yujyate natra sanshaya.
Yujyate natra sanshaya.
Etam vibhutim yogam cha.
Etam vibhutim yogam cha.
Mama yo veti tatvatam.
Mama yo veti tatvatam.
Sovikalpena yogena.
Sovikalpena yogena.
Yujyate natra samshayam.
Yujyate natra samshayam.
One who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mine engages in unalloyed devotional service. Of this there is no doubt. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The highest summit of spiritual perfection is knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless one is firmly convinced of the different opulences of the Supreme Lord, he cannot engage in devotional service. Generally people know that God is great, but they do not know in detail how God is great. Here are the details. If one knows factually how God is great, then naturally he becomes a surrendered soul and engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord. When one factually knows the opulences of the Supreme, there is no alternative but to surrender to Him. This factual knowledge can be known from the descriptions in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures. In the administration of this universe, there are many demigods distributed throughout the planetary system, and the chief of them are Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the four great Kumaras, and the other patriarchs. There are many forefathers of the population of the universe, and all of them are born of the Supreme Lord Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the Supreme The Supreme Person of Godhead, Krishna, is the original forefather of all forefathers. These are some of the opulences of the Supreme Lord. When one is firmly convinced of them, he accepts Krishna with great faith and without any doubt, and he engages in devotional service. All this particular knowledge is required in order to increase one's interest in pure, loving, devotional service of the Lord. One should not neglect to understand fully how great Krishna is, for by knowing the greatness of Krishna, one will be able to be fixed in sincere devotional service. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to text 7, chapter 10, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Is this new upholstery? Hare Krishna. Here we have the opposite circumstance of what we see in the everyday situation. In the modern world, even an ordinary person becomes great, Prabhupada explained, simply when they are published several times in the newspapers or in the media. They become well known and then they be considered to be important people. But if you actually know in reality about them, you find that there's nothing at all significant. Now here's the opposite circumstance. People don't understand really about God. Therefore they speculate so many wrong things. But Krishna is saying if one factually knows of the opulence and mystic power of the Lord, is convinced about it, then naturally they want to engage in unalloyed devotional service. This is no doubt. So what is keeping people from surrendering to Krishna? They don't actually know. Or if they know, they're not fully convinced. Maybe some people from India who know that Krishna is great, but they're not fully convinced. They know many things. They're not clear. So this purport, Prabhupada explains how one should know what Krishna's relationship is with the devas. Sometimes people say there are so many devas to worship. Doesn't matter which one you worship, it's all the same. But that's not what Bhagavad Gita says. According to how one worships, that's what one gets. Lord Chaitanya, he also said, Siddhanta Niyanakohoro Alas, that in regards to understanding the conclusions of the scripture, devotees should never be lazy or negligent. There are some sahajiyas, they say that studying all this information is mundane. But if one doesn't have the basic foundation, then it'll be very difficult to apply it subsequently. So Lord Chaitanya said the devotees should be convinced about the Krishna conscious philosophy. They should be convinced about Krishna and his opulence. Did I tell you about this is a special month. It's called the month of Magh or Madhava. And this month is especially recommended to in India, to offer flowers to Krishna and to take an early morning bath and to do other services. So sometimes when we're preaching, it's good to know what are the good months. Of course, for the devotees who are practicing every day, it's not so important because they're getting the benefit every day. Say if somebody's not doing devotional service and they know that in a month of Magh, if I do a little service, I get multiple benefit, then it may become an impetus for them to do it. In the year, there's the 3 months that are special. Dambadar month is special, most dear to the Lord. That month we do different austerities, like some restriction we follow in our diet. Plus, in that month, we do our chanting. Jai Gandharva ka girit hari ki jai, Vithangor ki jai. In the month of Vaishak, there's a Narsingha Chaturdasi, and there's the, we do the Chandan Yatra. So that month is especially auspicious to dance before the Lord, to give charity in the name of the Lord, things like that, and to worship the Lord. So a lot of different worship. And this month is the other very important month mentioned in the Vedas. So once I wrote Srila Prabhupada a letter and asked him that what should we do for these months, especially asked about Damodar month. And then Prabhupada said that this is, the Lord is offering special offer to attract the new customers. But your regular customer, he used the example that, say there's a store, they has its regular customers, but to sell their inventory, they want to attract some new customer. So they offer some discount. So then new customer come to take advantage of the discount. If there's 50% off or something, oh, this is a good opportunity. So there are some people, they don't like to get up early in the morning and go to Mangal Arati and take a morning bath. But the devotees are doing every day. But for people who aren't doing, said even if you take a hot water bath early in the morning, it's 6 times more valuable than a normal bath this month. And if you take a cold bath in the morning, it's 12 times more. And if you take a bath in a pond, of course, in India, I don't think the ponds are so cold like here in this season. Then it's 100 times more. And if it's a confluence of some great or a great river, and if it's a confluence of two great rivers, it's 400 times. And if it's the Ganges, it's 1,000. And if it's the Triveni, then it's 100,000. Something like that. But for the devotees, we're doing every day, and our purpose is just to please the Lord, but can be impetus. I think last time I told about that king, the month of Magh, that offered the flower. Somebody said yes?
We didn't hear.
Somebody is saying yes, but I don't know who.
He was a tyrant. Was last thing he did in his life was offer a flower. That. It's a very, normally a king's duty is to protect the citizens and to, kshatriya means to protect, but this king was not a pious man, he was impious. He was misusing his position, and so instead of protecting his subjects, he was exploiting them. He was misusing the treasure, the funds of the government, supposed to be used for the upliftment of the development of the country and security and running the government, but he would steal money. So in the Vedic time, the king is not a dictator, the king is an institution, and he has certain social responsibilities. But this king was not following, so he was more like a dictator. Although he was a legitimate king, but he didn't act like one. So he would use his money and his sinful activities. So then the people in the country were very unhappy. And a group of citizens became revolutionaries and guerrilla warriors, and they tried to overthrow the king. But the king was really well protected with his army, so it was very hard to do so. Well, one day the king went without a protection to visit. He had a girlfriend, and he didn't want his queen to find out, so he didn't tell anybody. And he went to see her in a garden house, and that she had, and there they met and were together for some time. They were sitting and then discussing, and one flower from the Golok Champa tree fell. It's a light flower, this is what they call frangipansy in the West sometimes. You know Golok Champa tree? Champa? It's a tropical flower. It's a very, very high scent, very strong aroma, very beautiful fragrance. And it's very light. If you make a garland, it will only last a few hours, usually. Maybe here it will last longer, but in the tropics, after some hours, if you put it in the morning by lunch, it'll be gone. It'll be time to change. Not like the carnations that last for a long time. But it's a very high scented flower. So it's one of the favorite flowers of Krishna. Champaka Lota, one of the gopis, offers Krishna the champa flower. And one of the places we visited in Avada Parikrama, Champahati, that was Champaka Lota's champa garden. So it's quite a well-established Vedic heavenly tree, plant, flower. So as this plant, this flower was falling from the tree, the king said, Urai Puspa Naranaya Namo. O flower flying in the air, I offer you to Lord Narayana. Casual, you know, just like, maybe he was being humorous. In Bengali there's a saying, Urai Koi Govindaya Namo. There was a humorous story that one Gopal Bhar was carrying a basket of puff rice on his head, and a big gust of wind came and blew all the puff rice in the air. So then he said, Urai Koi means all puffies flying in the air, I offer you to Govinda. Puffies are gone, he can't use them anymore. Right? Once they hit the ground, he can't also offer them to Krishna either. Plus, who's going to pick up every puffy blowing in the wind? So, since already it's out of his hand, and it's going to all be spoiled, and before it hits the ground, at least he can offer to Govinda. So Prabhupada used this saying sometime that somebody, say the government wants to take their land away, or they're going bankrupt, and they say, let me give to Krishna. So long they can enjoy it, they want, but if it's going to be like, okay, let's give to Krishna. This is a normal mentality of a pious materialist who's not very Krishna conscious. So anyway, the king, maybe it was something like that, maybe he was making a joke, or maybe whatever, but somehow he came from his mouth, oh, flower flying in the sky, I offer you to Narayana. Just at that moment, he didn't know, but somehow, maybe the lady was a double agent or something, but somehow the revolutionaries found that he was inside. They had surrounded the house. No sooner did he say, Narayana Namo, pow! They broke the door open and they shot with the arrow and, ah! Spot dead. So they were rejoicing, the king is dead, the tyrant is dead. Live the king. Of course, then they would put a new king in. Meanwhile, the Yamadutas, as soon as the king died, immediately they came to take his soul and the subtle body out to hell, because he was a sinful person, so they had a special program all set up for him. Special hot and cold running water, burning hot and freezing cold. All kinds of nice programs they had to make you remember. But when they arrived at the body of the king to take out the soul, they found that the Vishnu Dutas had already arrived. They said, no, he belongs to us. He's a sinner. Why are you taking him? You're supposed to take religious people. This person, he was cheating the citizens. He would lie in the court. He would give false judgment for bribes. He would so. They had a whole list. They had a whole. He belongs to us. He's a great sinner. I said, well, you're true. But the last thing he said before he died was Narayana, and he offered the Lord the favorite flower. In this month of Magh. Jai Radha Gandharvika Giridhari Ki Jai. So, he's coming with us. And they took him up to, they took the soul to Vaikuntha. paid his obeisances to the, came before Narayana. And Narayana was there with open arms to welcome him. My dear devotee. And he said, fellow, dear devotee, I am not a good devotee. Committed so many offenses. No, no, you're my dear devotee. You chanted my name the last thing before you died. He said, well, that was really... not plant. And you offered me my favorite flower, the champa, in the month of Magh. I said, anyone who offers me the champa flower in this month of Magh or offers me flowers in the month of Magh, they come to me easily. So then that the soul of the sinful king, he realized that the Lord is so merciful that he'd be very foolish not to take his shelter. And he decided to take up unalloyed devotional service. So this is a rare case, of course, and Lord Narayana picked him up and embraced him. Even we offer a little service to Krishna, he is very grateful. Svapamapyasyam dharmasya mahato taito bhayat. Even a small devotional service can save one from the greatest danger. So this is a very special month, so it of course only lasts now a few more. It's almost at the end of the month. Well, another week or so. And this is a best example how even a little service done at the right time and the right place can bring multiple results. So for the devotees, they're always taking advantage. But sometimes for the neophytes or people who are not doing devotional service, then these special occasions can be an impetus to do. Etang vibhutin yogam cha mama yo veiti tattvataha. Vibhuti means opulence and yogam is mystic power. So if anyone really knows his vibhuti and his mystic power, they want to render pure devotional service to Krishna. There must be something that everybody likes. Then if they know that actually whatever the aspect of every wonderful thing in the world, this is just a part of Krishna's opulence. I heard from Swabhas Prabhu when he was president of Denver. Now he's the president of Los Angeles Temple. He told me he was out in the airport where some devotees were distributing books. And he saw one man come and grab the book from one of the lady book distributors and just throw it down and say, "You people are all cheaters. This is all cheating. I don't believe in any of this. It's all bogus." So Swabhas, the Prabhu went over and said, "My dear sir, why are you treating this young lady like this? It's not the proper thing to do." "No, what do you mean? It's all cheaters. Why do you say that it is sincere? These are holy books. It's a sincere thing they're doing." He said, "No, this is all false things." Then he happened to pull out, he pulled out something from his pocket and he said, "This is real. This is real." And it was a bliss bar. One of these prasadam bliss bars. That in those days they were manufacturing in a farm called New Varshana, somewhere in the near Denver. And he had purchased this at the health food store. And he said, "This is real. You can eat it. It tastes good. It's all natural ingredients. It's something, you know, this is real. What is all this other stuff here that's not real?" He said, "So you think this is a very good product? This thing here, what? This is very good. This is really good. This is reality." So then he said, "Well, you know who makes these?" "So what?" It says here, say, "Nu Bashuna," or something, you know, you can pronounce it very well. But Barshana. "Yeah, this is, we make these." This is our company. We believe in, with the donations we get for these books, we make these natural products and try to let people live a more natural way of life. So then this person was in a big crisis because he had really been, you know, criticized, and now he was attached to his bliss bar. Then he said, well, if you make a bliss bar, this is good, then you must be good. So like that, sometimes that people, they don't know, and they come to some kind of speculative understanding, but then if they know a little bit, even a little bit about it, then they change their opinion. In the Krishna conscious movement, we face sometimes obstacles from different envious people. And they can play on the minds of innocent people because they don't know. So once people know personally, get some contact with sincere devotees, then they get a different opinion. So it's very important that people should know about Krishna, should know about Krishna's devotees, and should take advantage of the valuable human form of life. We went to South Africa in December, and they had a very big festival. Again, there were hundreds of thousands of people coming. And Nelson Mandela sent a message with the Minister for Parliamentary Affairs, Dr. Musa. And it was interesting because he spoke, he's a Muslim by birth and religion, but he praised the Hare Krishna movement, and he said how the president of South Africa was very pleased with this program, and how the devotees were having all kinds of races of people coming together. And he raised this point that South Africa is known as the Rainbow Nation because there's so many mix of races there. So it's like a rainbow, different colors, different races. And he was saying how the Atma, he's talking about Atma and soul, and speaking very Krishna consciously. It was quite surprising how much exposure they had, and there were some mayors from different towns, and they also spoke very great praise of Srila Prabhupada. And then he said one thing, he was standing and watching the prasad distribution for about 20 minutes. He said, I never saw some organizations feeding so many people like that. And in the queue, there are people from all the different races, which in South Africa was something unheard of, that, you know, in the same queue, they'd have white people, black people, Indians, and so on. So, but they're all queuing up for prasadam, so it was all transcendental. So one thing he said was very interesting. He said that in our new constitution, he's the constitutional development minister. He said in our new constitution, we mentioned that all the citizens of South Africa, whatever their religion, that religion we consider to be South African religion. So in our constitution we recognize that Hare Krishna is also South African religion. And said before there was only one state religion, but now that's not the case. All the bona fide religions we accept, and we accept Hare Krishna. And then he also mentioned that in the constitution there are many languages mentioned now, like English and Afrikaners and Zulu. He said also the Indian languages are considered to be South African language because the Indians are living here, like Hindi, Bengali, Telugu, Tamil, and so on. He said, we consider that this is an organization showing what symbolizing the new South Africa of racial tolerance and integration. And then the number three man in the government there, the ANC, African National Congress, he came and he's the chairman of the ANC. He told everybody that they should all chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. There's a whole Panda was filled with about 5,000-10,000 people, and he got them all chanting the number three person, shouting out, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama.
But he didn't say Rama Rama though. The guy said Rama Rama. Rama Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna.
Anyway, nobody minded. Even the one word they get wrong, it's all right. But it was amazing that how nicely they spoke, and they studied Prabhupada's philosophy a little bit. So making actually some impact on people. If we can give out more and more of Prabhupada's books and publish and get the knowledge through different mediums to people. And sometime by discussing with people in small groups or one by one, or sometime with big lectures, so people understand that Krishna is the origin of everything. Everything's coming from Krishna. And how Krishna's his mystic opulence, that he can do everything at the same time, remain transcendental. As people know this, then they become convinced to do the service to Krishna. When the five Muslim priests came across Lord Chaitanya unconscious and they were going to arrest his attendants, then Lord Chaitanya preached to them from the Quran and convinced them about Krishna consciousness and about the opulences of the Lord. Then they changed their attitude and had the desire to serve Krishna. And they took initiation from Lord Chaitanya. Seeing Krishna and Allah is not different. So giving people knowledge, factual knowledge about Krishna, once they're convinced, and convincing is not only the book knowledge, but also the chanting and practicing, then it has the effect very quickly. At the World Science Congress, there was one student came up to me, science student at the intermission, and said, I don't believe in all these things. I don't believe. I'm a science student. I believe in science, not all this religion. So I told him, well, as a young scientist, why don't you do an experiment? You chant Hare Krishna for some weeks or months, maybe maximum 2 months. You chant it. And you tell me if it works. You be a person in the laboratory. You chant and see if there's any effect. I give money back guarantee. The next day, when I reached the World Congress, that young student came up. Like running up to me and said, you know, Swamiji, Swamiji, it works. Primo! I chanted last night and I feel so happy, it works. I'm going to continue chanting my whole life. So here was a person who said, one day before he said, I don't believe in anything. Science. You see, the next day he's chanting Hare Krishna. Because he tried, that somehow if everybody can just try chanting, try to understand the philosophy, then they can quickly have the desire for devotional service. But somehow this is the rahasyam, the best kept secret. So we need to somehow see that Prabhupada's message gets out. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any question? Yes?
Ваше святейшество, может демон привлечься прасадом?
Can a demon be attracted to prasadam?
Can a demon be attracted to prasadam? Why not? Demon can get purified by prasadam. What is a person a demon for? person is a demon because of sin. And by taking prasad, you can burn out sin. One devotee, Bhagavata Amrita Das, Prabhupada's disciple, he used to distribute books in New York City. And he said that there's one street, he's from Brazil, so there's one street where there's all Brazilian people, tourists come, many. So he was distributing there. But in front of this one shop, there was a big gatekeeper. Very big, I think he said, might have been a black African, but Afro-American. And but he was like a big muscular person, and for some reason he was very much against the devotees. If he saw the book distributed, he'd run and grab the book and rip it and throw it and break up this that distribution and say, these people are cheaters, don't get from them. So the book distributors, they just go up to the shop that he was watching and kind of run beyond it, and he was so much of a demon that was hampering the distribution. Then, before the Christmas, the book distributor was distributing some cookies to people, and he saw that, and he was like, that shop's over there, he's over here distributing it. He saw that the gatekeeper is like watching. So then he just, why not? He went over and said, Merry Christmas, please take some cookies. He gave him. Then he went on to the other side. Just like, he tried the cookie. He came running to the Sankirtan devotee and said, oh no, now what? He said, do you have any more? Those are very good, you know, sure, take it. Big pile of prasad. And like that, every day, just by giving some prasad, within a short time, he became very favorable. Then he would go up to people, buy their books, very good. So he became from a demon to a very favorable person. There's a story about one Rakash that was living in Banaras. As a Brahmana, he was living in Banaras, had committed many sins. And then as a result, when he died, because he was living in a holy place, he didn't go to hell, but he had to suffer many horrible births. So three times he was born as a vulture, he was born as a pig, born as a tiger, like that, many animal births. And then finally he was got the great elevated birth as a rakshasa, man-eating cannibal demon. So one day, this one Apsara used to go bathing every year in the month of Magh at the Triveni, and she came out from the Ganges, and she's clothes are all wet, and she's like flying in the sky. So this Rakasha is looking, you know, what is this lady flying in the sky, you know? And some of the water from her cloth fell on his head, and immediately he became very peaceful. So he asked the lady, why is it that, who are you? And it's a long story. But anyway, so finally the lady, the Apsara, he begged her, please help me. And he told his story, how he got that sinful birth because of his offenses. And this is important because when we're living in a temple, Prabhupada said that we can also get sinful reaction if we're not very careful. If we're offensive or we're neglectful. So one has to be careful when living in a spiritual community. So she was requested by the Rakshasa to please help him. So she had a wet cloth from bathing in the Ganges. She took the wet cloth and squeezed the water on his head, chanting the holy names. And then from that he got all his sinful reactions were burnt away, and he became effulgent. Celestial type of a personality and had a sanctified form just because of the Ganges water. So demons can be changed also by little things. Okay, Hare Krishna.